Have you ever been stuck? I was coming home one afternoon up 31 and pulled off on my exit toward home on 350 South, and there on the side of the road was a brown car stuck in a snowbank with another person who was trying to push while he drove, and it wasn't working. And so I stopped to help, and between the three of us, we were able to get him back up on that road, but it was icy enough. Hopefully he made it home, but he had been stuck. And then on Easter, I had the pleasure of having Ryan and Annie and their two girls here for Easter Sunday, and Kaya is 2 years old. She likes gummy worms, but she doesn't chew them. She just licks them and sucks on them, and till they get really gooey and sticky, you know. And as they were changing the diaper, that gummy bear disappeared. And we found it later in the day. It was in the back of her hair, in such a wad that it would just about impossible to get out without scissors. I think they might have done that, but she was stuck in a different way, but still stuck. There are lots of ways that people are stuck in life. Sometimes it's a physical situation, maybe the car broken down, or maybe it's cancer or some other illness. But sometimes being stuck is more of an emotional thing, or maybe a combination of that. And so for some, life may not be going the way we want it to go. Or maybe the job is so demanding that we want to get out, try something else, but the commitment and the family depending on that income, and so it's hard to make those changes. Or maybe the loss of a loved one leaves you feeling empty or alone and stuck. And there are all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of things in life that can sometimes cause us to be stuck. And we can picture ourselves sometimes almost like that little guy on the Christmas story whose tongue is stuck to the flagpole. He took the dare and got stuck. And sometimes we almost feel like we're stuck in some kind of precarious situation like that. I believe, however, that God is able to make a way, even when there seems to be no way, even in those times when it's not so easy to know what the right direction is. The Bible is full of examples of God making a way. In Acts chapter 16, you read of Paul and Silas as they are in the jail there in Philippi, and they're singing, their feet hooked into the wood stocks of the jail, and then the escape comes when the earthquake comes and the jailer comes in. They're still there, and God in that way delivers them. There's the story in John chapter 2 when the wedding is stuck because they've run out of wine, and Jesus shows up. It's not quite time for him to be revealed, but his mother says, just do whatever he asks you to do. And so Jesus changed the water into wine. And today I want to read the Old Testament story of the children of Israel who were stuck, in a sense, between the army and the sea. And you're invited to read along if you want to in your Bible, Exodus 14, verses 1 through 15. The prophet, the leader, Moses, had been given the assignment of delivering the slaves from Egypt into the promised land, and he had gotten the start of that. They had left Egypt. They were getting out into the desert, getting ready to make that journey. They didn't go by the shortest route, the scripture says, because there were enemies, and fierce enemies in the way of the shortest route. So they took the scenic route by way of the sea. And then in chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.' So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, 'What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services.'" Their captive slave labor had disappeared. "So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they encamped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, "Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians"? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert.' Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen.'" God is able to make a way, even when there doesn't seem to be any way. And I believe that God still opens doors, and he still is showing that he is more than able to provide for his children. I'm reminded of that on occasions like when our car broke down along the interstate in Cincinnati and the smoke was coming out from under the hood, and in the middle of rush hour traffic as we limped along, finally found that convenience store. They sell gasoline, but they don't work on overheated cars, and so we were able to get a hold of AAA, and it was not after 5 o'clock, so we were still able to get somebody there and find the help we need. And somehow just the timing of that just reminds me that God is good and he's able to deliver. We've been stuck in other ways. COVID has been one of those major places where we were stuck and still are, and there are still folks who are dealing with that. And if you might remember my daughter-in-law's father, Jim Connor, who's in the hospital with COVID there in Indianapolis, there are still things that we don't understand, and a lot of being stuck and a lot of rules and regulations. You can do this and you can't do that, and depending on which hospital or which restaurant or which community, the rules still change, but we're still waiting to see. God has done some good things through all of that. There have been some really hard things, but some really beautiful things. And so sometimes the being stuck reminds us that God sometimes uses those detours or those waiting places to help us experience new directions. If you've been trying to travel anywhere in northern Indiana lately, you know that you can't hardly get there from here. There are all kinds of detours and roadblocks, and some of the major highways, on some of the little highways, there are all kinds of bridges out, and that's a good thing. There are going to be better roads in the future, but in the meantime, sometimes we're seeing some new scenery. We're going in directions that we hadn't gone, and sometimes if you're stuck, it might be an inconvenience like that. But sometimes the being stuck is even more severe. The enemy on one side and the sea of drowning and death on the other might be the illness and the loss of a job, or maybe it's the loved one that's arrested and then there's a car accident. Sometimes it's a cancer, but then also another issue on top of that. And so sometimes the being stuck is more severe and more complicated. And there are many whose lives will never be the same because of the effects of COVID or the chemotherapy or the car accident. And they are stuck in a difficult place in their lives. Some are raising their grandchildren. Some are caring for a loved one. Some are stuck with a lonely life in a care center of some sort. And sometimes there seems to be no way out of this. But I believe God is one of those gods who knows how to make a way, or how to use that place where we're stuck to deliver us into a new life or a new situation. And sometimes when we're stuck and we're waiting, that long line of traffic or that place where we didn't expect to be, we become a little bit impatient. We know sooner or later there's got to be a way out, and I've had those times when I think, well, I'll just take this side road and go around, you know, and I take that side road and then there's a barricade at the end of that one as well, and it takes you on around the way that if you'd have just stayed where you were, you'd be already past the roadblock. Somehow we get impatient. But sometimes we need to realize that sometimes God puts those roadblocks or those places there to teach us and to help us grow. And sometimes God's way is the long way. And as you read the story of Exodus, they didn't take the shortest route because there were some fierce enemies along the way. The other way was easier. Even though they found themselves in this precarious place, God had a plan for that as well. And as you read the story, the Hebrews spent years along the way. A 40-day trip turned into a 40-year trip, perhaps. The journey through the desert and the many places that they experienced along the way. The generation that left Egypt passed away there in the desert, and a new generation that raised up and entered the promised land. And so somehow the way that God takes us sometimes isn't the easy way, but the lifelong way. And so we like to have miracles. And when God opens a way through the Red Sea in our life, we marvel at that and we say, wow, what a blessing. But then if we think about it, there are a lot of those journeys that are just tough. Day after day, week after week, year after year of living routine, simple. But I'm reminded that graduation doesn't come the second day of class. It comes after first grade and second grade and third grade and the homework assignment that you had to do and the class that you had to take, and you sitting there in the middle of this class and you wonder, what does this have to do with the rest of my life? And you keep going, and little by little you go through all of those procedures and you finally get to the end of high school or college, and you reach that goal. Do you like the mountains in Colorado? Beautiful mountains and the scenery. And yet if you driving to Colorado, there's one thing you got to do first. You got to go through Kansas. And sometimes Kansas can just be kind of like Indiana, flat. And yet, beauty in the fields of Kansas as well. Sometimes as you go through life, there are those flat spots and those dull places and those routine things. And sometimes we wonder, am I ever going to get there? Am I stuck? What is God doing? And is he leading? And am I in the right direction? And those questions come. And how do I know that he's at work when the things are not exciting or it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere? But I believe that God is at work. And many times, even when we don't see him working, even in the quiet moments or in the places where it feels like we're stuck, sometimes those wheels that God is moving in the right place at the right time are still moving. We just don't see them until they all kind of connect together. Well, there are some lessons that I believe the scriptures tell us. And whether you read the story of the Hebrews there as they're traveling, or whether you read the story of Paul and Silas there in the Philippian jail, or any of the other times when you see God delivering, there are lessons that we learn as we learn to discover that God is able to make a way. One lesson is that we need to give him our heart and to surrender our life to him and learn to trust him day by day and to walk with him day by day and not to yield to the feeling that he's not working or to despair. The Hebrews cried out to Moses, "Did you bring us out here to die in the desert?" They lost their faith so quickly. But Moses told them, "Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord." And Paul and Silas there in prison, they began to sing and praise God as they were there in prison, because that was what they needed to do and what they knew to do. And they had faith that God would deliver them, and he did that. Stand firm and give God your heart. And a second lesson that I see as we read the stories and listen to God's deliverance and see him working is that grumbling only makes the journey longer and more burdensome. It may be our human nature to grumble. It may be our default to complain and whine and be frustrated by being stuck, but it's really harmful and discouraging if we yield to that. It doesn't honor God to complain and grumble and say, "Why are we stuck here? How long do we have to wait? What are we going to do? And I got to get there." And you know, and somehow that just doesn't help. It just makes the journey longer and more difficult for all of the people around us. A third thing I discover is that being ungrateful for the blessings of the past, to have ingratitude in our hearts, it's sinful and it's disrespectful and it doesn't show us to be people of faith. And so when God blesses us or God delivers us or he helps us or guides us through those journeys and we don't stop to say thank you, or we don't remember when we're stuck the next time how he delivered us in the past, then we're missing a crucial lesson. We just finished our journey of learning to be anxious for nothing. And that message of Paul to rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. And so learning to be grateful even when we're stuck is crucial. To learn when we're stuck in that tedious place to say, "Thank you, God, that I'm here. Thank you that you've worked in the past, and I can believe and trust that you will work again." And the proverb tells us that a thankful heart is good medicine. And appreciation for others and praise to God are the spiritual clothes that we as believers need to put on. And God's people are way too quick to forget. The old ways come back to haunt us, and in so doing, we neglect. And so, God's timing. Learn to trust God's timing. When you're stuck, or when you're in that difficult place, when it's even one of those places where it just doesn't seem like there's any answer, any way, any deliverance. Those are the times we trust God the most. But God's timing is right. And when it's right and all of the things that he is doing to bring that about come together, then the deliverance comes. Patience in the meantime and contentment and waiting on God, running ahead, getting stressed out, trying to find our own way. We can do that, but it just increases the anxiety. But as we learn to wait and learn to trust, we discover his deliverance comes always at just the right time. He's able to deliver. God is a God who, again and again in our lives, if we look back, we can see again and again how he delivers. And he is able to take us, even when there doesn't seem to be a way, into a new direction, into a new life. Are you stuck? Does there seem to be no way? Trust in that God who is more than able to make a way. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, there are times in our lives when we get stuck. Maybe it's our own fault. So often it's not. It's just the way things happen. Maybe it's that illness, or maybe it's that accident. Maybe it's that breakdown of the car, or maybe the loss of a job. Maybe, Lord, it's a whole set of circumstances that have come at the same time. And not only are we surrounded by difficulties, but maybe heartaches as well. Lord, thank you that you are a God who's more than able to deliver us. You are a God who can make a way when there seems to be nothing but impossible directions around us. And teach us, Lord, that we can trust you and that we can just wait for you, and that you are a God who is a loving God and who care about us. And so, God, as we gather today, we worship you and we thank you for the ways that you have delivered us in the past and the ways that we can trust you to do that in the future. And, Lord, as we are gathered here in this week to come, there may be some of those circumstances that cause us to wonder or to doubt or to be frustrated. But help us, Lord, to honor you. Help us, Lord, to lean on you. And forgive us, Lord, when we grumble or are ungrateful. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.